Glory to God. God is so wonderful. It's so good to know Him. Why don't you turn over to Ephesians 2? Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 4. Glory to God. Ephesians 2, verse 4. It says, but God. If you guys are all there, let's read a little bit before that in verse 1. It says, and you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. That's why He came. That's what we're getting into, you know, Christmas season. And why did He come? He came for this very reason. Because He's rich in mercy. He came to save us. He came to deliver us when we had nothing to offer. Nothing. But He is rich in mercy. I want you to go back to verse 4. But God, who is, He has a little bit of mercy. He just has a little bit in His pocket, carries a little bit of mercy around. No, it says, but God, who's merciful to some. No, He says He is rich in mercy. This is part of His very being. He is just, we're going to read some more scripture along these lines. He is merciful. He is good. He is a loving God. It says, but God, He said, we did all this stuff. We used to walk according to the world. But God, who's rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, raised us up. I want to read you the definition of mercy there. It's compassion, tender mercy. Do I have that on your sheet? I put it? Okay. Compassion, tender mercy, kindness, beneficence, and outward manifestation of pity. That's our God. Kind, tender mercy. He is a merciful God. He is a good God. He is a loving God. It said, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. And then that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It's just for the ages. We're going to see just how rich His mercy and His grace and His love. It's just going to keep going. We're just going to see more and more of it. This is only the beginning. We're just seeing a glimpse of Him. He is eternal. There's a lot going on after we leave this earth. So much we don't understand. I mean, that we cannot go outside of the Word. But he's shown us certain things. But he's always been. And he always will be. We think this is it. Here on this earth, this is it. I mean, now we're just going to go up and sit on a cloud and play a harp. No, he's going to be showing the riches of his grace and his mercy to us. There's a lot that is to come. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back in the Old Testament, read a few things about it. Exodus 34. Let's turn to these. Exodus 34. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Exodus 34, 5. It says, "Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.'" This is God proclaiming about himself. It says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious." This is him. This is our God. This is his character. He's long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. There is nothing dark in him. Nothing, even a little speck of anything wrong. He's perfect, pure, right, good. Verse 7, "keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty." He's a just and a holy God. He's merciful and gracious, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus came. He's God in the flesh. Merciful. You see this in how he interacted with people. Merciful and gracious and kind and true. We're so thankful for him. Go over to Psalm 103. Then we'll go to 145. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger." Do you know that's a characteristic of him? He doesn't have a hot temper. He bears with people. He bears with us. It says, "slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." Let's go a little bit further. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him." God is a merciful God. God is not looking for a way to punish you. He's not looking for a way to let you have it. He's a merciful. He's looking for a way to bless you. That's his heart. He's just looking for a way to get everything he wants over to us all the time. That's his heart. It says, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Now, before we go, you get more out of this next verse if you get this. That word pities, when we think of pity, we're like, I don't know, a poor thing. But it is sort of like that. When you, like if, you, but imagine a man with a little puppy on his lap. That word pities can be like petting, like you're just, oh, you know, you know the little puppy's there, and you just had, you could say, you could use that word pities as you're kind of petting that puppy. In other words, it's something small, and you're just looking at for what they are and kind of being tender toward them. It's not always just our connotation, but look at it. It says, as a father pities his children, you can see, I mean, because you can see it there, pities, like, I don't know how we would use that generally as a father pitying his children. I pity my children. No, pity the poor fool. Rocky Balboa, no. No, we don't really use it like that, but pities, how he looks on his children and look at them like they're kids. They're growing up. They'll get it. Bless God. Hallelujah. They're coming up. Well, so it says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. That's his attitude as he looks at you and me. And look at the next verse. For he knows our frame. Or margin of my Bible said, he understands our constitution. He remembers that we are dust. You know, the Lord is not surprised when you do certain things because he knows what you're made up of. He knows that you're a human. He knows how you're made. He understands, and yet the Bible says he pities us. He looks at us and says, they're going to get it. They're growing up. He looks at you when you, it's about your heart. When you fear him, that doesn't mean you run away from him. When you reverence him and you have a heart to serve him, he's looking at you. Just think of that little puppy on the lap. You understand that puppy? You know, I've heard it said a dog pretty much gets to about the level mentality of a two-year-old, and that's pretty much where they're. Even the smart dogs, maybe they're a little bit above that. But you got perpetual two-year-old running around. Have you ever done with or ever dealt with a dog? I mean, there's certain things they'll just do, even smart ones. Well, God knows where we are, and he'll look at us. I mean, us compared to God, we're only going to get so high. You have whatever your IQ is, I mean, it doesn't matter. People just do stuff. And God realizes this. He's not excusing it, but he's looking at you going, yeah, you're just about this high. You'll get it. Keep on. Get up. He loves us, but get his attitude towards us. He is rich in mercy. What did it say? I like the way it said it. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. If you run away from him, that's not where you want to go. God is not a hard taskmaster. The enemy tries to insert himself, though, and he'll tell you God's hard. What is he trying to do? He's trying to drive a wedge so that you'll run. Where are you going to run to? Run right into the enemy's arms. He's got a trap. And this is what he tries to do. And he does this through things that he'll lie to you, lie to you, lie to you about what's happening in your life. Something's happening, and what he'll tell you is God failed you. That was God's fault. God's punishing you. God's doing something to you. God didn't take care of you like he should have. He didn't keep his word to you. And what does that make you want to do? Run away from him. Where are you going to run? The devil's just right there. You're going to run right into what he wants you to. God is merciful and gracious and good. That's why we're looking at Scripture. That's the character of God. It doesn't matter what things tell us. You can't go by what you see when we see as we ought to see. Romans says, let's turn over there real quick. Hold your finger in Psalms. Go over to Romans. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are helping us. God is good. We prayed that we would open our hearts. You just keep your heart open this morning. Don't let this be too simple for you. Like, well, the mercy of God, I know that. No, there's one thing with hearing it, and there's another thing with coming in and saying, yes, God is merciful now. He is a good God now. Seeing the Scripture and taking it to heart. Walking out. We can come up in this. We can come up in our level of understanding. I don't care if you've heard it for 30 years, you've walked in it, we're not there. We can come up higher this morning. He is a good and merciful God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Hold on a minute. I think I went to the wrong place. Sorry, 1 Corinthians. Oh, wait. Yes, 1 Corinthians 13. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Everybody there? 1 Corinthians 13. Thank God. Verse 8, it says, love never fails. Let's just go back to verse 1, read these. I know these are familiar verses. Let's just go to verse 1 and read through it, though. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. This is describing Him. This is describing the Lord. This is describing the love that He pours out in our hearts. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is the Lord, too. I know we've heard it a lot. Well, this is what you ought to be like because you're the love of God shed abroad in your heart. That's true. But when you go to Him, this is His. The Bible says God is love. So when He's dealing with you, He's not touchy. He's not fretful. He's not resentful. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. He is enduring all things. This is Him. This is His very nature and character. When you think of Him, you ought to think, I mean, He is the utmost in all this. You talk about somebody that's long-suffering. There is nobody more patient, long-suffering than the Lord. But it says, the next verse, it says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We don't know everything like we will. We only know a little bit. Verse 10, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. That's the verse I wanted to get to. For now we see in a mirror dimly. The King James says, as through a glass darkly. But then face to face. We don't see everything completely clear and perfect. We don't know everything completely clear. And so we walk through this earth, and things happen, and tribulation and pressure comes to us. And the enemy is a deceiver and takes advantage of this and tries to come in and put a wedge because of your ignorance, because of your lack of knowledge. I'm saying all of us to a degree. And he tries to divide you from the Lord and say, this is God's fault. And you've heard it as many times as I have, how many people, something happened in their life, they felt like they prayed to God and nothing happened, and now they're separated from Him. They say, I tried that. I prayed. Nothing happened. My brother died. My dad died. I don't trust Him. There is no God. I tried that. There's nobody answered. This is very real. God did not fail them. God did not fail any one of us. He never has. He never will. He is eternally faithful. 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 Merciful. If we knew what was going on behind the scenes, oh Lord, you would say, oh Lord, you've been more merciful and more faithful than I ever would have expected you to be. But the enemy will come and tempt you and say, God is behind this. Or God failed. He didn't do. You believed, but He didn't come through. That's a lie. We don't understand. I'm not saying we don't see as we ought to see. If you saw the way things really were, you would realize God has been faithful to every one of us. He's merciful and gracious all the time. Period. All the time. But the enemy tries to deceive you, to come in and say, what has God done? Where was He? And that produces bitterness, that pushes you away from Him. And like I said before, it pushes you right off track toward the enemy and what he has for you. But if we'll realize that God is a merciful and gracious and good God all the time. Hallelujah. All the time. He is good all the time. All the time. Today He's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go over to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 8. Glory to God. We have this verse on our website. You see that under our the ACC? Sharing the goodness of God. So many people don't understand that God is a good God. Because something like what I was just talking about happened. And when people are hurt, they are vulnerable to deception. People are vulnerable to be deceived and to buy other things, theories, religions that they feel comfort them, but they, eternally that's not going to help them. There is one true God, and He is the Lord over all. And He is so good and so pure And he has, but we're his creation here on this earth, and the enemy. Somebody said this way back. Brother Hagin mentioned it. He was reading some digest or whatever in this. This was back in the 30s or 40s. And this man had written this article, and he was talking about the state of the world. And he said, if God's running everything, he sure has this place in a mess. Brother Hagin said he's absolutely right. God isn't running everything. He's Lord over all. But the enemy came in, got Adam to bow his knee to him, and he's the God of this world. He's not always going to be, but he has a lease on this earth, and he's the one that has everything messed up. And this is what people don't understand. These problems are the result of sin. You go way back, Satan introduced sin in the earth, got people to follow his way, which is corruption, which has corrupted things. This earth isn't anything like it was when it was created. It's been through a worldwide flood. It's been destroyed. It's just a fraction of what it was. This isn't God's best. But God still threw it. He said, I'm good. I'm merciful. That's why we have the Word. So we can say, what is God saying? Who is He really? Verse 8, Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. I'm going to read that again. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Does that seem like somebody that's bitter and waiting for you to mess up and just looking, all right, that's it, you're out of here? No, He's full of compassion. He is full of mercy. He's looking for every chance He's looking for every chance He can to get things to you and to bless you. Every chance. He's not looking to take away. That's the way some people would believe it. How many times did He bear with the Israelites? Over and over and over. And they would not follow Him. It was not just that He was like, forget it. No, they wouldn't listen. Just over and over. And yet, even there, He was so full of mercy. It says, slow to anger and great in mercy, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's go over to Romans 5. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Do you think as Christians, blood bought, born again, do you think He's merciful to us? Hallelujah. Romans 5. Oh, He's merciful. He is merciful. He's merciful. I just had it in my heart this morning. He is merciful. He is a merciful God. We need to know right now where you're at, what you're going through. You need to know He's full of mercy. And some people just need to come back and turn towards that mercy and believe that He's a merciful God that will give you the strength to go up, get up, go on, and realize He's not surprised. He's not falling off the throne. Get up, stand up straight, take a deep breath, and realize your God is behind you and for you. The past is the past. Put it in the past and go forward. Today. Now. This isn't for somebody else. This is for us. Now, today. Romans 5, verse 6. Don't say, yeah, but I did this and this, and God showed me this, and I should have done it. That's the enemy. As long as you stay and quote and rehearse your failure, you will be crippled in life.
That's right. That's right. That's true.
If you get it taken care of, you say, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. Then as far as he's concerned, it never happened. You should not repeat it. It's in bad taste to repeat it.
That's awesome. That's right.
Don't say it. Oh, I messed up. Don't tell your spouse. Oh, I messed up. Just let it go because God has.
Yeah. Thank you.
Put it away. The enemy, when you, so if you've dealt with it, And you hear and you feel like rehearsing it, that's not God. God is a merciful God. And if you are revering Him and want and going to Him and your heart is to serve Him, He's not caught up in that. Let's read Romans. I'm getting ahead of myself. Romans 5, verse 6. This is something we just need to wash ourselves with and remind ourselves, because as you go through life, if you're not careful, you can start getting weighed down with things, and the enemy will just, he'll entertain you, and even if your heart is right to do things, if you're not careful, you slip into where you feel like you have to keep doing things in order to be right with God, even if you've heard all this, even if you know it. And as we're in this season, it is typically busier for people. There's a lot going on. You know, you can just get it heaped on you to where you feel like you're just not dotting your I's, crossing your T's, and you just don't have joy. No. No. We shrug that off. Verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time, or at the right time, Christ died for the people that had everything together and were saints already. No. He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates... Notice this. He demonstrates His love. Whenever you hear, well, God doesn't love you, what has He done? He demonstrated His love. This is where we need to know the Word, take the Word at face value, and it says He demonstrates His love, His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners. That word is in your... Do I have that on your sheet? Under Romans 5, look at that with me. It says an archer's term for missing the mark, or a traveler leaving the familiar road and taking twisted paths that cause him to lose his way. You don't have to raise your hand, just look at the paper, but some of us may have gone on a twisted way before and then got back on track. The word denotes one devoted to sin by choice, a transgressor whose thoughts, words, and deeds are contrary to the eternal laws of God. But He says, while you were still this, while you were still sinners by nature, He died for us. He sent His Son to die for us then. Opposed to Him. Didn't have anything good to do for Him or give Him. We're off. We're wrong. Verse 9, much more than having now been justified. You know that word justified? That means declared righteous or acquitted. Acquitted. Now, if we're acquitted, it says, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Thank the Lord. The deceiver will come. It doesn't matter how long you've walked with God, you're probably doing way better than you ever have, and he'll look at your failures, and he'll remind you of your failures, and he'll come and say, Why did you do that? Why did you do that? If you were, why is it taking you so long to get past this? You're not doing enough. You should be doing it better. We need to know what the Word says, and we need to know that God's merciful. Yes. He's gracious. And if we have blown it, if you snap at somebody, if you do something you shouldn't have done, if you fell down in an area, that's the time to trust in God's mercy and grace and what Jesus has accomplished for us.
Right.
Not, I know that, with my head, it's time to get up and just immediately put it off and get up and go on.
Hallelujah.
Continually, that God is a merciful God. Oh, He's merciful. He is more merciful than I think we can hardly even comprehend. And it's easy to, as you get going, that it starts feeling like, well, you know, I mean, yeah, God's been merciful some places, but you know, I'm doing better than I ever have. That's a slippery slope, because when you start going there, it's not long before you trip up in something. And you need to go right back and say, oh God, You are merciful. Thank You that I have what I have. Because if it weren't for You, I would have nothing. And I don't deserve anything apart from You. The enemy will come and say, well, You've done pretty well. You've been doing pretty well. I mean, you guys, you've been doing pretty well. Look at how you used to be and now you're doing this. And, you know, you got this because of what you did and this because of what you did. And take it off to where it's not looking at Him anymore. And when you take your eyes off Him and say, now I have this because of what I've been doing, well, what happens if what you've been doing slips up? Now what are you going to get? So no, we don't want to put our eyes on what we're doing. That's not to say we do what we know to do to follow Him and do everything we know to do, but we don't trust in that. There's a line there. There's a difference, because you can fall over to where you're trusting in that, or you can say, well, I don't have to do anything. No, it's God and us. But He's merciful to work with us. Hallelujah. There is not one of us, like somebody said, God hadn't got anybody qualified working for Him yet. It's a good thing to remind yourself of that. When the enemy comes and says, well, surely you ought to be further than that. You're a human. That's not to say that, that's not an excuse to say, well, you know, I'm just human, I can just do it. No, it's to say, when you're fearing God and you're going after Him, even when you don't do it perfectly, to get right back up and just keep trucking. Just keep trucking and expect good. I could feel that. When I said that, it was almost like, I mean, I'm fine, I'm still in the family and I'm okay and I'm not going to get kicked out, but expect good? This is where our minds are being renewed. Because when we feel like, no, I've done something, I've tripped up, so I expect wrong stuff to happen. If you get up, I'm not saying there won't be ever consequences for something you do. I mean, if you go down and rob a bank right now, you may spend some time in jail or something. I mean, there may be some things that God can work on it, but if we'll just get up in the things we do and make it right, get up, say, no, I'm going on, and not let us drag us down, that's trusting really in His mercy, in really believing what we're talking about. That, no, He's merciful, and He's merciful to me. And before, when I didn't have anything to give Him, He sent His Son.
That's right.
This is what the real time we're talking about. When we talk about people that don't even have, they're not even Christian, they don't have anything to do with God anymore, but they talk about the hope that's around Christmas time. Why is that there? It's because God sent Jesus to people that didn't deserve Him and made a sacrifice that we didn't deserve so that we could live in His life. And He's done that for all of us. And today, we didn't deserve that. Hear me. We did not deserve to be in the family of God. Then what? So right now you're running your race and you trip up and the enemy will tell you you don't deserve anything. I don't deserve to be here to begin with. So we realize, okay, so I'm imperfect. So I'm not perfect. Thank God that Jesus came. I'm going to get up and just keep my eyes on the prize and my eyes on the Lord and keep running. I'm going to keep running toward Him. Turn over to John 3:16. Actually, we'll go to 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. John 3:14. John 3:14. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Hallelujah. Verse 14 says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man, must the Son of Man be lifted up." When they were in the wilderness and all the snakes were biting people and people were dying, they put a bronze snake, or brass, or it was a snake they put up on a pole and said, "If you gaze on the snake, the serpent, you'll be healed." And God, Jesus, if we'll keep our eyes on Him and look to Him in spite of this other stuff that's going on and believe that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, that it's not about, that's the whole reason He came, is that we could believe on Him and walk this life through believing on Him. And when we trip up, to get up and to believe on Him. And to just keep looking at Him and saying, "Lord, I'm going towards You. I'm walking towards You. And You are a good and merciful God. He loves us. He's a merciful, good high priest." It says in verse 17, "He did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world." That's not why Jesus came. He said, "But that the world through Him might be saved." That was God the Father's plan. That Jesus coming, that we would be saved. When we didn't deserve it. When we didn't have anything to give. So today, running our race, just believing, just coming, just being stirred up in His mercy. And that if there's something that we've tripped up in, that we just need to stand up. Quit believing the lie that we're not doing enough, that it should be more, that we haven't done it right, so that this and that. You know, it might be true that we're not where we ought to be. I think that would probably apply for everybody. Where we could be. Has anybody in here utilized your life to its fullest potential? Absolutely. There's some margin where we're not where we maybe ought to be, but okay, so put that aside. You're not where you could be on the other side probably either. You're here. Yeah. Right now, this morning. Yeah. So that tells me, I mean, you're not in an alley somewhere. Unclothed or, you know, completely out of your right mind. There's place, you could be somewhere else too. Every one of us, if not for the mercy and grace of God. And we've called on Him and we've looked to Him. Thank God He was looking out for us even before we knew Him. Through the prayers of the saints, through somebody prayed for you, somebody told you, somehow you came to know Him. And so the enemy will try to focus and keep you focused on those things where you're not doing everything the way it could be done. Parents, you haven't done everything right. Okay, well, welcome to the club. Nobody that's parented. We're all human beings that are imperfect, trying to bring up human beings that are not going to be perfect, and your kids are not going to be the first ones that are perfect. My kids aren't. That's not an excuse. That's just the truth. We're all dealing with where we're at, and we're doing what we know to do, and that's why we need to trust in the grace of God and the mercy of God. Amen. Gloria Copeland said, I've mentioned this before, but she said her son, John, was just a little bit wild and was getting into stuff and was, you know, causing his parents to think about that and all that. And she was on a plane. And the Lord, she was just, I think she was kind of thinking about it, fretting about it or something. And I think the Lord just spoke to her and said, "My mercy hovers over John. My mercy hovers over John." That's comforting to think about. Somebody you love, just believe God. Just believe God. I said, just believe Him. Amen. That means you're not walking around. If you're feeling down, depressed, I don't know what's going to happen there, what's going to happen there, what's going to happen there, that's not believing Him, that's fretting. Yeah. How do we know if we're believing? We'll be at rest.
Peace, peace.
We'll say, okay, God, I'm going to believe what you said. I'm not that I've heard it, but I'm going to just throw that over on you. I'm going to take a deep breath right now and believe that you really are a merciful God, not for all those other people, but in my situation, you're a merciful God. You're a good God. And you're going to take care of me. And half of those things that I'm thinking about, I probably can't do anything about anyway. So I'm just going to cast this over on Him. I'm going to cast this over on you, Lord. I'm going to choose just to take you at your word and believe you're merciful and you're working it out and you're helping me now. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's read one more scripture. I think we'll close. Let's go over to Hebrews. Hebrews 4, 14. Thank you, God. He is so good. Hebrews 4:14. It says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now, he's talking to Hebrew Christians that are tempted to leave the faith because they're getting pressure. Okay, so he's saying, hold fast to your confession. But this applies to any confession you've made. If you believe God's a good God, you hold fast to that in the middle of junk. That's when you have to hold fast to it. That's when you need to hold fast to it, and you need to say, no, God's a merciful God. No, God is coming through for me. He's helping me. He doesn't need me to be perfect. That's why He sent Jesus. He just needs my heart. If we just keep after Him, He'll work out the stuff within us. He'll help us. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who could not sympathize with our weaknesses. That's just like we read in the Old Covenant, where we read that the Father knows what we're made of. He knows we're dust. Somebody that even is doing just extraordinary things on this earth, in the end, they're dust. God's not overly impressed with accomplishments on the outside. What He is impressed with is a heart after Him. He was not impressed with Saul. Saul was a head above all the other men. He was a warrior, but he did not have a heart after God. He did not do what God told him to do. He did it his way, and he was disqualified. David, on the other hand, didn't look like anything on the outside, but God said, this is a man after my own heart. And David made a lot of mistakes, but God used him mightily. And that's, we need to remind ourselves of that and just say, God is with me, He's for me, and just because I haven't done everything I think I ought to do, I'm just going to keep pressing on. The enemy will come to you and just tell you, you ought to just quit, you're not qualified, you're messing up, forget it. And not get you to look at all the good things you are doing. He'll point out the one thing that you just did and said, forget it. Might as well just go over on the trash heap. You're not going to make it. Forget you. Look at so-and-so, and look at so-and-so, and look at so-and-so. The Bible says not to compare, so you know that's not God telling you that. No, that is the enemy trying to discourage you. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who could not sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. That we may obtain mercy. When do you need mercy? When you haven't done everything you should do. You need mercy. And find grace to help you. Find grace to help in time of need. When you need it. That's when you need to run to Him and say, God, You're a merciful God, I know this. Lord, I come before You. I know You understand, I'm calling on Your mercy. I'm calling on Your goodness, I'm calling on Your grace. Lord, thank You. Lord, before I did anything right, You were there. You've proven Your love for me. I'm going to follow You. I'm going after You. And I thank You that You're giving me the grace to push through right now. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord.